Good morning, a Wednesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Shartok. Are you even able to open your eyes? I know you were at our patron saint, at least one of them, Natalie Merchant's concert last night. I heard you got a shout out.
Well, I have to say, David, I love Natalie Merchant. You know, I have always referred to Pete. She was a very good friend of Pete's, of course, as our Pete. And we have always referred to Natalie Merchant as our Natalie. She's generous to a fault. She has helped WAMC again and again and again. And last night at the Mehewi, she was as good as we have ever seen in Great Barrington. She's just such a talent, such a strong voice. She talked last night with great eloquence about taking our country back to great applause. And she was very nice about WAMC and how she had listened for 30 years. And it brought Roselle to tears, I have to be honest with you. And she's an extraordinary, extraordinary woman. And we are so lucky to have her. I mean, so lucky.
And so generous to WAMC, including the song Kind and Generous, which she sang at that wonderful concert at the Linda, to push people to recognize the value of public radio.
She did last night, too. She sang that song, and the audience responded with great applause and great love. And our wonderful Beryl Jolly was there, who runs the Mehewi and does it so well, and wrote me a note about Natalie's kind words about the radio station. It really does make it worthwhile. She was very kind.
Well, and as the current situation in Washington permeates every aspect of our culture, we look now today as President Trump brings a message aimed at national unity from the Associated Press and Healing to the sites of the mass shootings in El Paso and Dayton. But the words he offers for divided America will be complicated by his own incendiary anti-immigrant rhetoric that mirrors language linked to one of the shooters nothing you and I haven't talked about before.
David, what would you do if you were a mayor of one of these affected cities? Would you say, Mr. President, you can't come? You'd have to do what they are doing, saying, my official capacity as mayor makes me welcome in his official capacity this president. And yet we all know that a large part of what has happened can be laid directly at the door of this president. From a political point of view, his people know it too. And they're scrambling. They're sending him to these places. He's talking about the way in which nationalism and terrible things have happened. And yet we all know that he's the guy who set the stage. He set the table. There will be people who put headlines on newspapers saying, president says this or president says that. And yet, you'd have to be awfully dense, awfully naive, not to know who did all of this, who was responsible for the kind of terrible sense of American nationalism, white nationalism that we are seeing in this country. Yes, it was this president who did that. Did he pull the trigger? No. But did he set the table? Yes, he absolutely did.
So does he flip the script and become the unifier, or do Americans see through that, and does he ultimately hoist himself on his own petard?
Well, the hoisting has been done already, obviously. He will try to flip the switch. He did that in his teleprompter speech the other day, which rang awfully hollow to many people, certainly to me it did, and very sad. I think that the people in the White House are trying like crazy to figure out what the answer to all of this is. Right now, there are a number of things on the table. Background checks, for example, which the House of Representatives is wildly for. The American people are wildly for in the polling. The NRA, of course, and all of the gun-toting folks are not wild about this, but I think in this particular case, the folks in the White House know that something better be done to pacify the American people. Mitch McConnell, of course, is a disgrace. He has to allow a vote. The reason he doesn't want to vote is that he knows the American people are so adamant about this that the Republicans in the Senate would have to vote for it. I don't see any other way out of it for this president. He is a guy who has to go to his base in order to win. He doesn't want to in any way affect this kind of change, but he just may have to.
Meanwhile, the shooting attack at the Walmart in El Paso, Texas, has left many Latinos deeply shaking, raising questions about their place in American society. They're quoting at least one Latino saying it feels like being hunted.
Well, look, you know, El Paso, for example, was a model of getting along in so many ways. And this just has torn that relationship between everybody asunder. In the end, America has to be seen as a democracy. People have to get out and vote. Natalie Merchant made that point last night. Take our country back, she said. And that means people have to go to the streets. People have to make demands. People have to go to the Congress. They have to coalesce as they are outside of Mitch McConnell's office in Kentucky. And they are doing that. You know, in other countries, hundreds of thousands of people take to the street. That doesn't seem to be the American way. But the one thing we could count on is the fact that the ballot box is still here. And while it is still here, this is a time when it really has to be used.
The clarion call of our generation, climate change. We keep talking about it. Another headline today. Water crisis looms for a quarter of humanity. Around the world, 17 countries are currently facing extremely high water stress. Climate change is making the problem worse.
David, if there is one thing that is perplexing to me, it's that we don't, as a world, recognize there is nothing more important than our paying attention to the environment. We're not doing it, and the result is we are seeing the heat rise to these astronomical levels, the oceans rising, we see the ice packs melting, and yet we sit here with our heads in the sand. We have just got to concentrate, because if we don't, we're doomed.
Our political observer, Alan Chartuk, with us. Thank you, as always.
And thank you, David. It's great to talk to you, because when you're really tired, you're the guy I like to talk to.